All right, it's good to be here this morning. Guess the rain kept a few people away? Or football, maybe. Maybe it's football. Glad to be here. We're still going to talk about this business of doubting Thomas up there. You know, back in 30 A.D., that's about the time when Jesus was rounding up his apostles. He picked 12. You know that, right? Picked 12. And you know, the population back then was like between 170 million and 300 million. Now, compared to what we have today, that's not many, but it's a lot. McDonald's served about 170 million, you know, 300 million. They got served a lot of people. And Jesus went out and he looked for 12. 12 out of 170 million to 300 million. Now, if there was a religious leader today who was going to round up 12 people, I don't know how he would select them. Even in our church, when we select a couple of elders, you know, we just had a new elder probably a couple of years ago, and they opened the Bible and they had all these requirements. You had to be a married guy, you had to have good kids, you had to run the house. I mean, there's requirements. Jesus went down to the dock and he got a couple of guys fishing. How did he pick them? And then he went and got a tax collector. Remember, I was here a couple of months ago, a couple of quarters ago, whatever, right? I was here a few quarters ago and we were talking about Jesus, the great teacher. And he had the apostles and he had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then he had the sinners and the tax collectors. And the tax collectors were the lowest of the low. Jesus picked one. Matthew. He picked a tax collector. One of the lowest of the low. How did he get these guys? Now, I love reading about the apostles in the Bible. There's a lot said about the apostles. I enjoy it. And, you know, the Bible... Somebody talked earlier about the Bible kind of coming alive. And the Bible does come alive. It's a real story. It's a real book. And when I read it, I like to imagine myself there, or I like to imagine myself, how would it be if it happened today? You know, because it's the real deal. And I think about Thomas. You know, Thomas is mentioned like twice in the whole Bible. But he's got a big thing. A lot of people know about Thomas. He's the doubting Thomas, right? And we say that, don't be a doubting Thomas. And how many times do we doubt? And people will say, oh, you're a doubting Thomas. Oh, I guess that's better than being Judas. You know, I'd rather be doubting Thomas than Judas. You know, and Judas is mentioned a few times in the Bible. But he doesn't have the best, you know, story. But Jesus picked him. He was one out of 12 of 170 million. So Judas had a role, something to teach us. And I think I get it. Peter, he was mentioned a lot. They talked about, he even wrote some of the Bible. You know, I love where he says, I'll die for you. Right? I'll die for you. And then when it comes to it, they say, are you with that man? And he says, nope, never met him. I have no idea who he is. That's Peter. Introduce you to him a little bit. And then we have Paul. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. And Paul, he was like him. He wasn't even one of the 12. He was his own guy. And he was picked after Jesus ascended into heaven, right? Because Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He says, and then he said, well, who are you? He said, well, I'm Jesus. I'm the guy you've been persecuting. Now, you got some work to do. So Jesus picked Saul and turned him into Paul, and he changed. So we have Philip. Gotta love Philip. Philip, they had all those people, thousands of people, and Jesus is teaching them. And Philip, here's Philip's line. How are we going to feed all these people? That's Philip's claim to fame. How are we going to feed all these people? And you don't hear much about Bartholomew. Anybody got any good lines from Bartholomew? Thaddeus? don't hear much, but they are one of 12 of 170 million people. And then there's Matthias. You know who Matthias is? He's the guy that got picked after Judas was gone. So that's all you hear about Matthias in the Bible is they drew straws and picked Matthias. And that's kind of his claim. But Thomas, we're going to talk a little bit about Thomas. Thomas was the doubter. That's his claim to fame. But he had another line in the Bible. Let's turn to John 11, 14 through 15. All right, John 11, 14 to 15. Well, I'm gonna start with the death of Lazarus. I'm wondering if Thomas was there. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet and with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. That's Lazarus. He loves Lazarus. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, okay, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and you were going back there. Jesus answered, are you not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks my day will stumble. All right, so he's on his way. And after he said this, they went, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. I love that line. He went to sleep and I'm going to wake him up. This isn't a little nap. You know the story? This is not a little nap. I'm going to take a trip and go wake up my friend. Like, nobody there could wake him up. You know? Lazarus was dead. Sick, dead. They wrapped him up in burial clothes, put him in a tomb. He was gone, finished. But Jesus said he was going there to glorify God. That's what he said he was going there for. So, after his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant a natural sleep. So then he told them, plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go and be with him. So now Jesus gets to town, and they tell him that Lazarus is dead, and he goes to the tomb, and there's a lot of people around. I don't know if Thomas was there. Doesn't really say if he was there or not, but there were apostles with him. Thomas could have been one of them. And he goes to this tomb where there's his dead friend, and he says, Lazarus, come forth, right? And out of the tomb comes this bandaged, wrapped up Lazarus. He's alive. He brought him back to life because Jesus is the giver of life. So did he see that? So now in John 11, nope. Now in John 14, we'll go over to 1 through 7. Jesus is talking to his apostles and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way. You know the way to the place where I am going. So Jesus is talking about God. He's going to go where God is, and he's going to prepare a room. Now, I think the apostles know where God is by now. You know, he's got 12 of them. And then Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Even after being there all that time with him, he said, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and I have seen him. And then Philip, here's another line from Philip, Lord, show us the Father that we will be enough. That will be enough for us. Again, he asks him to show us. Show us. Thomas said, show us. Remember that? Thomas said, show me. Thomas wasn't there. Let's look at that again. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. And remember how Jesus came to the disciples that day? He was dead. He was crucified. They killed him. They wrapped him up, put him in a tomb, closed it off, and he came out. And then, because he's God, because it's what God does, and so now he comes through the wall, and he says, peace be with you. Now, Judas, so the last time we saw Jesus with these guys all together, he was having the Lord's Supper. And that's what we celebrate, remember, every Sunday. Because it's really a big deal. It's a big dinner. He's going to teach them a lot of things at this dinner. Not only he prepared the meal, he says he prepared it. He's the one that sent him, said, go get that upper room. You know, take the donkey, go get the upper room, tell them you're with me. So they get the upper room, and then he says he's the host, he prepares it. And then he takes a towel and he wraps it around himself, he washes feet. He's a servant now, he's washing feet. I don't know that I would like to wash feet, but he was washing these dirty feet. And now, Judas's feet, he washes Peter's feet. Judas is going to turn on him. Peter's going to deny him. Right? Thomas is going to say, I don't even believe this. You know, but he washes all these feet because he loves them. He sees that. And that's the last time he sees him. And then when they captured him, it says that the apostles scattered. John kind of stayed put. He was around. Peter followed Jesus everywhere he went, but he wouldn't say, I know him. He was still kind of hiding. Now, so they all like turned on him a little bit, you know. So he comes into the room through the wall and says, peace be with you. That's not what I would have said. Where'd you go? I needed you. But this is Jesus. It had to be fulfilled that he went to that cross. That had to happen. And Jesus did it. And when even earlier Peter said, that's not going to happen to you. He says, get behind me, Satan, because he doesn't understand. So Peter had some lines in the Bible too where he didn't quite understand. He doubted. He didn't get it. So Thomas isn't the only doubter. So, and then next week, well, they tell Thomas, yeah, Jesus came back. So, yeah, right. You know, anybody remember the old Bill Cosby album back in the day? And God says to Noah, build an ark. Who is this? He says, God. Bill Cosby says, yeah, right. You know, and I want you to do, yeah, right. You know, so he doesn't quite believe. He doesn't believe that Jesus came back. He said, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. Do we know people like that? I don't believe in God. I don't see God. I don't see God. I know a guy who was just trying to figure out who God was, and he was praying, and he said he was outside, and he said, God, if there is a God, I want to hear a clap of thunder. There was a clap of thunder. I don't know where it came from, whether it was God answered him or it was just a rainy night, But then he says, do that again. Do that again. He didn't believe it, even after he heard it. So, now I don't know what that thunder was all about, but there it was. But he didn't believe it. And how many people say that? I like to use this word. Do you believe in air? Like, do you see air? I don't see the air, but every time I take a breath, I don't say, gee, I hope there's another one. So I don't see it. I don't see the air, so how do I know it's there? I just kind of know it's there. Now, think about it. How many of you people drove a car here today? Raise your hand. Who drove a car? How do you know it's still out there? Do you see it? I might have moved it. You know? My sick mind, twisted mind, I might have moved it. You know, you go out there, it's not there. But anyway, not everything do I see, but there are things that I believe. I believe there's air. I just believe it. Because there it is. You know, I believe a lot of things that can be explained. You know, like, well, if you turn on a light switch, you know the light's going to go on. Well, not if the bulb's dead. You know, you got a lot of things. But I like the air thing. So there's air. Air is God made. And then, he says, but he said to them, unless I see it, I won't believe it. Thomas saw everything. He was around. He saw Lazarus come back to death, to life. He was maybe there when the centurion came and said, my son is dead, please bring him back. And he did. He brought back Peter's mother-in-law. He saw people come back to life. He saw water turn into wine. Thomas had seen a lot of things. And how much do we see and still sometimes doubt? I know every once in a while I might doubt. I try not to, but say, I don't know if he's going to help me with this one. Well, just ask. I have someone close to me said, you know, God hasn't done anything for me in 3 years. I said, really? I said, what have you asked for? He said, nothing. All right. Trying not to be sarcastic. I said, well, you know, maybe we see the problem. You know, maybe you could ask. See? You know? But I need to ask. I need to make God part of my life. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was there, and he said, peace be with you. He came through the wall again. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger in my hand, reach out your hand, put it in my side, stop doubting and believe. That wasn't a suggestion to Thomas. He said, stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. He believed, my Lord, my God. He knew it was Jesus. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Wouldn't we like to see something? Show me a sign. Didn't we hear a song on the way up? I'm praying for a sign, sign. Everything was like triple. Praying for a sign, sign, sign. It was a neon sign, sign. I don't know. But everybody wanted a sign. Show me a sign. Give me something. And Jesus said, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed. Everyone in this room has not seen. We've seen what God said in the Bible. We've seen that. And we take that as a promise. We take this as fact. But we haven't seen Jesus personally. Unless someone here has. I haven't. And if I did, I might be a little whiter. But I've not seen Jesus. I've not seen these miracles. I've only heard about them. And I believe them. I think I'm blessed. Because I believe and I haven't seen. The purpose of John's gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have a life in his name. Jesus really wants us to believe. God wants us to believe. That's why he's given us this book. That's why he's given this. I think I told you when I first came in contact. What? I heard about the Bible all my life. But I always thought of it like as a holy book. And it is a holy book, but I thought of it as a real holy book. I grew up Catholic, and we just carried it around and, you know, blow off the dust every once in a while, move it from one place to the next. I remember the first time I came here, and I saw someone actually write in it, and I, don't do that. You know, it's the Bible. We don't write in the Bible. We don't read it either, but we don't write in it. You know, we let someone else read it to us. I remember I sat and I said to Pat Seaman, I said, so do you think I could be saved? And he said, let's open the Bible and see what God says. Let's open the Bible and see what God says. You mean God talks in here? And I tell you that we opened the book and light came out and music played. Not really. But there's a lot in this book. And I had someone come to me the other day and say, I'm going through a lot of grief. Their son passed away. And I'm sure she is. And asked me for some, I'm a counselor, so she asked me for some recommendations of good books that she can read. Here it is. It's right here. I don't have to go any further. Everything that's written, they got out of here. Might as well read this one. You know? And so, the doubt. If I doubt, I open this book. And I can see all the things that God did. I can see all the things that Jesus did. I can see that he died on the cross for my sins. And I can be saved. And then I can repent and be baptized and be saved at that time to give myself to Christ, to die to myself, to come up a new man in Christ. And we have that opportunity. And we can do that today if you haven't done it before, to be saved. And you probably see John or Bill or somebody here that can help you with that. Let's have a little prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for giving us your word in the Bible. We thank you for giving us Jesus. We thank you for all the people that are here today as a family. We come here not only as Christians, but as disciples, as Christ followers, people that want to do your will, not just in name, but in deed. And Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We ask you to be with all those who are not here with us today. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.